There's a lot of history told about the California Gold Rush, and here in Southern Oregon, Jacksonville was the center of gold mining during that time. In at least one county, Chinese laborers comprised more than 60% of the gold miner workforce, according to the records published by Oregon's Secretary of State. But what's far less known is the work of African Americans in the gold mines of Northern California. Mark Oliver is my guest. He's a Northern California artist working at the crossroads of art and culture. His work, in the form of paintings, sculptures, films, and installations, have been exhibited across the U.S. and internationally over the last 40 years. He's received numerous awards and residencies throughout his career. In an effort to shed light on the untold stories of the Northern California Gold Rush, Mark Oliver edited and published the book, Voices of the Golden Ghosts, African Americans in the California Gold Rush. Welcome to The Exchange, Mark.
Hi, good morning.
Well, in my opening to this segment, I mentioned the prevalence of Chinese laborers in the Southern Oregon Gold Rush. Oregon joined the Union in 1859, and by 1870, Chinese gold miners were more than half of the population of at least one Oregon county. Of course, the hostile backlash from angry white Oregonians soon eliminated the entire population. How prevalent were African Americans in Northern California at that time?
Well, Rudolph Lapp, who was an early researcher, he pretty much said whatever you could find in the census, you could easily double it because, and that's kind of how I came across all this info. I finished the documentary on Lincoln Heights and weed, and I was just going through the census records in 2011, and I saw these names of African Americans in the Siskiyou County census in 1850 and 18. They had another one in 1852. And I wasn't really a gold rush kind of historian. I was like, what were these guys doing here? And so there was no written information. So in this area, it's really hard to get an estimate except for what you find in the census records. And as I researched farther, you get more information about the Central Sierras and those areas. So there is a 1863, there was a man who was, he was in the Pacific Appeal, one of the African-American newspapers out of San Francisco. And he had said that he wanted to be a distributor in Yreka because he said there was 30 families that would take the Pacific Appeal. So that gives an indication of, you know, 1863, Yreka. Okay. You know, there's not 30 families now, African-American families. There might, you know, might be just a couple. So, and the area is so remote, you know, from the rest of California, Siskiyou County. I mean, it's very hard to get to. It wasn't easily as accessible, say, like out of Sacramento, the Sierra mines. So, and I think information was also slow and sparse, you know, along the Klamath River and over in the Salmon River. I mean, even today, you know, the Salmon River where I did find some actual written accounts of African-American miners. And actually there's a river, a creek over there with, now they call it Negro Creek, but on an old map, it had the pejorative term.
Wait, are you saying that today, in the 21st century, they call it Negro Creek?
Yeah, it's on a, you can look it up on any map, Forest Service maps, called Negro Creek. But the map I found at the College of the Siskiyous, which is an old U.S. map, before they had changed the names, I think it was 1964, Stuart Udall kind of changed all the bad, nasty names of people on all U.S. maps. So it was changed to Negro Creek. But on the map I saw, it was called something different. But that's still assuming, there. And you know,
I'm assuming that was the N-word.
Yes, it was, yeah. And but all throughout California, you know, down by Sacramento, there was Negro Bar and in our area. So as I continued to research, I worked with a friend who was a archaeologist, and all along the Klamath River, and you know, we found about 8 sites, you know, with the And you can look a lot of those up today. There were mines like Negro Boy Mine on the Klamath River and Negro Hill Mine and, you know, a lot of mine sites. So, again, going back to Rudolf Lapp, who did his research in the 70s, he said, you know, obviously any area or any geographical formation or whatever with a term, you know, related to an ethnicity, obviously it's named that because there were people of that, you know, group there. So, you know, we can assume there were a lot more people than the census noted. So,
do we have any data on particularly how many, what the population was at any given time?
I mean, just the total population?
Yeah, the total population of African Americans that were known in that, region.
Yeah, so, well, roughly Rudolf Lapp, again, just to highlight his work, you know, he says by like 1852, there were 2,000, at least 2,000 African American men and women in the California gold fields. And then by, I think, 1860, he says there was at least 5,000 or more, which, you know, of course, pales to the amount of, you know, other people in California at that time. But what I latched onto is myself and nobody who I'd ever met. And I work with the African American communities in Siskiyou County and Redding. No one had ever heard of that. There was just one person mentioned, Alvin Coffey, who actually came into before Redding existed. It was around kind of the Weaverville, Old Shasta City kind of area. He came out, and his work is documented because his diary was put into the Society of California Pioneers.
Okay,
let me
pause you right there because I want to ask you more about Alvin Coffey.
Yeah, right.
My guest today is Mark Oliver. He published the book Voices of the Golden Ghosts, African Americans in the California Gold Rush. Mark, you share these stories in a book, but you also produced a film titled The Golden Ghosts.
Yeah, this year, last year, I guess, I got a really awesome grant from the 18th Street Art Center in Los Angeles, and I was one of 18 artists in the state to kind of do a project that represented just the different activities going on throughout the whole state. And I was chosen for the far north, and that was all funded by the California Arts Council, their big Creative Core project. But it was enough money to try to put together, you know, a small cast and small crew. And I, you know, because I'm a filmmaker, I really wanted to make a movie because we've been doing theater since 2017, trying to tell these stories on the stage with members of the community from Shasta and Redding.
Have you worked with the university at all?
Which one?
Humboldt?
No. Mm-mm. That's a ways out of our territory.
Have you worked with any university in your territory?
Well, we have the community college in Weed. Okay. We've performed there. But the film project, so I wrote a script where I wanted to introduce what maybe two black miners who were coming into Siskiyou County in 1852, just what they would have encountered. And I kind of wanted to just get, you know, the people who were here. So they end up running into some Mexicans, Native Americans, Chinese, and some other white gold miners. And so that's how the script is structured.
So you're telling the story of Alvin Coffey through his lens?
You know, that should be a major Hollywood production because his life is incredible. You know, he came out as a slave, and that's one of the major things since we've been doing our programs since 2017 that nobody realizes that California allowed Southerners to bring their slaves California, you know, a free state. But he came out as a slave. And
let me interrupt you real quick. Oh, yeah, I just want to say this. That makes sense around that time because Oregon entered in 1859 as a free state, but it wanted to be free of black people. So it put a clause in its constitution that black people could not live in this state. And anyone that brought black people into the state would suffer consequences. So I understand now because right at the border, black people were involved in the gold mining. It makes sense. Go on. I'm sorry.
Yeah. I think that border was pretty fluid as well, too, because I know there were some African Americans over there in Oregon where they theoretically weren't supposed to be. I mean, that's been documented by the Oregon Historical Society. Alvin Coffee's story is amazing. And people can just Google Alvin Coffee. And, you know, he walked back and forth from Missouri like three times, you know, back in the 1850s. And he settled in Old Shasta City, eventually moved to Tehama County, opened the first integrated school for black, brown, and Native American kids. He was an amazing guy. It's just hard to imagine his life, really. But we do, in our theater productions, we have a number of people have played him because we do these vignettes, kind of composite vignettes of different people. Since there's no writing about many people besides him, we did discover a couple other people in Yreka, though, that there was some newspaper accounts, things like that. There's just not much written, you know, about that part of California history. Hence, that's why I've been working on it now since, probably 2011, just researching. And then 2017 started our theater pieces. During COVID, we did the book because we couldn't go out and do theater. And now we have the movie. So November 23rd, we're going to have our first Northern California showing in Mount Shasta, November 23rd at the Jefferson Center for the Arts in Mount Shasta.
Okay, well, Mark.
So that'll be interesting. Yeah.
You're not a black man. What inspired you to elevate these stories that no one else has cared to?
Well, you know, my mom's from born in Weeds, and I moved back up here and I started making documentaries. And one of the documentaries I first did was the one on Lincoln Heights. And I worked with James Langford. He was the first African-American teacher in the schools there in the 70s. So we collaborated and did the story of Lincoln Heights. It was, you know, I've always been interested in history. And after that, you know, that's when I found the information in the census records. And, you know, I guess, you know, you're a historian. You're interested in history. I mean, I wasn't looking for a particular story. I was just following this really interesting information that I had no idea existed. And I've had friends in the African-American community for a long time. So, with their support, you know, I just continued the research until we got some funding and put the theater pieces together. But I work hand in hand with my friends in the black community in Reading.